You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz. Its title, You Can Start Over. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
There are some stories in the Bible that when you once hear them, they are very, very hard to forget. Such as the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. Jesus said, There once was a man who had two sons, and the younger of these sons said to his father, Father, give me my share of what I would someday inherit. Now, because the father loved his sons, he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the Bible explains, the younger son gathered everything together and then traveled to a distant country. There he wasted all his money. He spent it on loose living. When this young man had spent all of his money, a severe famine occurred in that country. And this young man had absolutely nothing to eat. He was poor. He was desperately poor. He was broke. Finally, he was able to get a job. And do you know what he did? Do you know what this young man who used to have so much money, do you know what he had to do? He got a job feeding the swine. Jesus then explained that as this young man was feeding the pigs, he was so hungry that he wanted to fill his own stomach with the food that the pigs were eating. But then the Bible further explains that this young man finally came to his senses, and he said, My father's hired men, they have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up, and I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So the Bible explains the young man got up and returned to his father, and when the son returned home, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. The father felt great compassion for his long-lost son. He loved his son very much. And the father ran and embraced his son and kissed him. Then this prodigal son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father would not listen. Instead, the father said to one of his servants, Go quickly and bring out the best robe and put it on my son. And then put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And then bring the fatted calf, kill it, and prepare the food, and let us eat. Let's rejoice and be happy, for this son of mine was dead, and now he has come back to life again. He was lost, and now he has been found. And so they began to celebrate. Now, of course, many centuries have passed since Jesus first spoke this provocative parable of the prodigal son, but the social conditions of our day are remarkably similar, strikingly so. People still do foolish things. In fact, we might say that many people today do rather stupid things, very much like the prodigal son mentioned in the Bible, this young man who wasted his money on foolish living. Today, scores of people make careless decisions, often based only upon emotions. With their deck of plastic credit cards ready, countless thousands spend themselves into a situation like that of the prodigal son. Their financial condition becomes desperate. Oh, they may not have to eat with the swine, but their strapped financial condition is so low, and they have so few dollars left after making all their monthly payments that grocery shopping is limited to purchasing only a very few basic items to eat. They can't afford anymore. Haven't you seen these people passing through checkout lines in grocery stores? I have. Others, in their haste to live the good life, sell themselves into bondage for many, many months as they sign the bottom line, committing themselves to horrendously high monthly payments in order to purchase the latest model automobile, including many luxury add-ons and creature comforts. Still others, nurturing pie-in-the-sky dreams, have done everything possible. Yes, they have virtually mortgaged their lives into financial slavery by buying a dream home, costing much more than they can ever afford, and a house that exhibits unnecessary and unneeded luxuries for living instead of the simple basics necessary for a simple, God-pleasing life. In our text for today from the Bible, we read that when the foolish young man saw that the pigs had food to eat, but that he did not, then finally he came to his senses. He realized the absolute stupidity of some of his past decisions. He felt very, very badly. And so when the foolish young man described in the Bible finally came to his senses, this sudden awareness of reality was not primarily because he saw the stupidity of his carefree lifestyle. The light went on in the mind of the rich young man when he understood that he had sinned. He finally understood that where he belonged was not in some foreign country away from God, but at home with his loving Father. And this is the powerful lesson that Jesus has for you and me today. Our minds must not be daily delighting in thoughts of happiness with the things of this world and apart from God, our gracious Father. You and I may not be in a foreign country, and we may not be physically far away from where we were born. However, when you and I establish our daily dreams, and when we constantly converse about how we would like more of the things of this world, and about how we long to have money for this and more money for that, then we are in a distant country, far away from God. And for this we need to acknowledge our sin, and to sincerely repent, and to return to our gracious and forgiving Heavenly Father. And so if this section of the Bible, if these words of Jesus mean anything at all to us, then this parable spoken by the Savior is calling you and me to evaluate our lives honestly. By the power which our Savior is willing to give you, Jesus is urging you to come to your senses today. And some of you today can identify directly with the situation of the prodigal son. You too have been spending foolishly. You have been wasting your money. You have been chasing after the things of this world, but for others of you, the situation may be somewhat different. Your private life may be under control, and you may even be content with your present financial condition, and you may even pray or even go to church occasionally. But this is not the lifestyle that your Heavenly Father desires for you. God wants to be the first in your life. And he wants you to be a child that is home with him and speaking with him every day. God wants to bless you with his presence every hour. Return, therefore, to your spiritual home with your Heavenly Father by getting to know God in an intimate and spiritual way. This joy of homecoming can be yours as you begin a daily, disciplined time of prayer and Bible study. If you are too busy to pray each day, then you are like the prodigal son. You are in a spiritual far country, very distant from the uplifting love of your Heavenly Father. But when you return to God by pouring out your heart every day through sincere repentance and prayer, and when you take the time to study the Bible and to worship God regularly on Sunday, then your life will be changed. You will experience a new joy in the Lord, just as the prodigal son did when he returned home to be back with his father. Of course, on your own, for you to become more godly or spiritual may be very difficult for you to do. Frustrated. Yes, frustrated. That's how you may feel. It's a new year, 1993, and you would like to start over, but you don't really know where to begin on your road back to God. But then this, my friend, is where the words from our Bible text for today can help you. Jesus' parable of the prodigal son provides a positive example for you to imitate. In the Bible, we read that after the prodigal son realized his foolish lifestyle, that of living with the ways of the world apart from his loving father, then this foolish prodigal son said, "I will get up. Yes, I will get up and go back to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Now it's time for you, my friend, in private confession, to say the same thing to God, your Heavenly Father, with a heartfelt attitude of sincere repentance. You need also to pray. Dear Father in heaven, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And then, as you look toward God's grace and mercy, and his willingness to take you back, and the great celebration of being back with God again, there is something else, something very serious, yes, something very important that you need to know. For you today on your own, the return back to God is impossible. Your road back to God will not happen simply because of your strong efforts or even because of the depth of your sorrow. Your return to God is possible only, yes, only because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for you. Jesus Christ has paved the way for your return. Through his innocent suffering for your sin and through his bloody death on the cross, Jesus Christ has opened the door for you. He has prepared the way for you to return to your Father, your loving and gracious Lord. Let me explain this important teaching to you from the Bible. You see, for centuries, priests in the Old Testament days served as go-betweens, or as mediators, or as bridges between man and God. And through their daily rituals and sacrifices, these priests were reminding the people of their sin, and that there was also hope, but that the real hope of salvation from sin lay ahead of them in the future. These animal sacrifices offered by these priests of the Old Testament were only a symbol, only a poor shadow of the real sacrifice, that real sin-atoning sacrifice of Christ that would take place on the crucifixion cross. And so for this reason, the Bible speaks of Jesus as the fulfillment of this hope. Jesus is the great high priest. He is the one who goes to God on our behalf. He is our mediator. Jesus, the Bible explains, is also able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since Jesus always lives to make intercession for sinners. The Bible also states that it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, a perfect high priest who does not need daily, like all the earthly high priests of the Old Testament, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this Jesus did once for all when he offered up himself. And so then, my friend, as we look at our text for today, we see that God is not only calling you to return to him from the far country. In Christ, God has also opened the door for your return. He has readied everything. He has built the bridge. He has prepared the way. And in his parable of the prodigal son, Jesus lovingly explained that when you return to God, this is not a time of endless sorrow over your past failures. God does not desire that you constantly think about all of your past mistakes. Instead, Jesus explained that when the foolish son returned to his father, there was great rejoicing and unusual celebration. In fact, for us to understand the love of God and the mercy of God in another situation, Jesus explained, I tell you, yes, Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So then the parable of the prodigal son, which Jesus told, has many lessons. The actions of the younger son are certainly applicable to our generation. The lesson Jesus spoke involving the older son is equally important. However, on this brief program, we cannot discuss all these powerful insights. But what is crucial for you and me to know is this. This is the beginning of a new year, 1993. And because God is a God of mercy in Jesus Christ, we, you and I, can start over. And like the prodigal son, you can have a new beginning. You can return with confidence and great joy to your Heavenly Father. So therefore, the words and the actions of the prodigal son, after he had come to his senses, provides all of us today with a prototype, an example for 1993. The prodigal son is someone that we should imitate as we see our own sins and mistakes of the past year, and then in sincere repentance, seek God's grace. The prodigal son said, Father, I have sinned I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Let us then also, as we begin this new year, prepare for our future by honestly confessing our faults and failures. Such confession will bring great joy in the heavens. Begin today, my friend. Yes, launch forth with confidence and trust the grace of God. Be absolutely assured that in Christ, every last one of your past sins have been forgiven. Believe in the mercy of God, and He will take you back. Your sincere repentance and your simple faith will give your heart divine and healing peace. Your restoration unto God through Christ will bring great joy to your Heavenly Father's heart. And so, my friend, let 1993 be that year in which you begin anew. Return from the far country of worldly pleasures and worldly living and experience the true joy that comes from being a real son of God and then living every day as a child who is not only an acquaintance of God but a true son who will also someday soon inherit the greatest blessing of all, the gracious gift of God, eternal life, forever in heaven. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.